What timeless lessons can we learn from the narrative of Yosef and Eshes Potiphar? Of Yosef and Potiphar's wife, that Potiphar's wife becomes infatuated with Yosef and his good looks and very much wants to have an affair with Yosef. And Yosef resists, and as a result, Yosef is thrown in jail. So obviously there are many lessons that we can learn in a practical sense, even from a cursory reading of the story. But in the Kutta Sichas Chelik Aleph, in the second Sich of Parash Vayeshev, the Rebbe explores two deep lessons we can learn from the character of Yosef and the character of Eshes Potiphar, both of which are relevant for all of us on a pretty much daily basis. The Sicha reads as follows, and this is in Ois Hei of the Sicha for Vayeshev on page 78. In Parshas Vayeshev, the Tzel, the Torah, Vegan Yosef HaTzadik, Parash Vayeshev tells us about Yosef the righteous, as there is given Yefei Toyer Yefei Mare, that he had a pleasant form, as Rashi explains, his body had a pleasant form, and he had a pleasant face. And Rashi there explains, not only did Yosef look good antecedently, but he was also took very good care of his looks to the extent that he would curl his hair. Mitzadem, as a result of that, since Yosef took such good care of his looks and made sure he had curly hair and what have you, as a result of that, is Vatisa Esh Sadein of Gemer. Did Potiphar's wife raise up her eyes, meaning that she took notice? On Minhatim, Rangizetz, and Tfisa, on Eichazein, Nikdart, and Nizashe, who is Hashem Matzliach. And as a result of Esh Potiphar lusting after Yosef and wanting to have an affair with Yosef, and Yosef refusing, and then to cover herself, Eshes Potiphar accuses Yosef of attacking her. So as a result, Yosef sits in jail for 2 years. But even though he's in jail, the Torah tells us that whatever Yosef did, Hashem would give him success. In the Mesipur Zayin Ferah and Tzvei Teilim, there are two elements of the story where we learn about Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. Aleph, the first element of the story, is Benigiel Yosef. With respect to Yosef, as there is given Yefei Teiv Maria, Yosef was of an aesthetically pleasing physical form, and he had an aesthetically pleasing face. On Beis, and the second element of the story is Benegesh Potiphar, with respect to, from the perspective of Potiphar's wife, Beidet Teilin Zainin, as if he alnion from the Ebeke unweisigen for unser Führung, and Dr. Chaleben. Both these stories, both these elements of the story, like all things in Torah, are eternal lessons for our behavior in our daily lives. If Yosef in Shtei, speaking to Yosef, it says, Yosef havayali ben achim. Rachel davens that Hashem should give her another son. Taich chak admor tzemach tzedek, that tzemach tzedek, the third Rav Lubavitch explains in his Sefer Oratev Parash Vayitzi. As Yosef avoyda is bashtan in tzemachin and achir ashrem din farabin. That Yosef's spiritual service is to turn the other, is to turn the stranger, is to turn somebody who is distant, somebody who is foreign, somebody who is alienated from godliness, from Hashem, from Jewish community, into a ben, into a son, somebody who feels a sense of closeness and a sense of belonging. And that means to cause people to return to Hashem, to return to the Torah, to return to the Jewish community. Then, what empowered Yosef to make Balei Tshuva, to transform the other into a son? Because he himself had a pleasant form and a pleasant face. Yosef himself was pleasant in all, with respect to all things. Sai in Mitzvah, be it in the realm of engaging in positive behavior, in positive mitzvahs, and sai in Mitzvah Loisaseh, and also with respect to negative mitzvahs, with respect to refraining from negative behaviors that one should not engage in. The is their clarity and fila arter, as the symbolism is explained in many places in Chassidus, one place in a member of the fourth Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash of Tafresh Chav Zayin, the year 1867, where the Rebbe Marash explains, as toyar is their inyan for mitzvahs asay, un mare mitzvahs loisaseh, the yefei toyar, of a pleasant form corresponds to engaging in positive mitzvahs, whereas a pleasant face corresponds to abstaining from negative behaviors. Therefore, and since Yosef was himself in a state of spiritual perfection, that's why he was able to transform the other, to transform the one who was alienated into a son of Hashem. This is a lesson for everyone. That by everybody there is a demand. You're not meant to only focus on your own spiritual growth. You're not meant to only worry about yourself, but you're also meant to worry about others. But we need to know nonetheless that even though we do have a responsibility to engage with the other, as Gemara and Bab Metzia tells us, first, chastise yourself. First, make sure that you're living up to your ideals. And only then should you go and try and make sure that others are living up to the ideals that they're meant to be living up to. We ourselves need to make sure that we are spiritually beautiful. And only then, when we've made sure that we are spiritually beautiful, can we impact the other. My intention here, says the Rebbe, is not to say that a person should wait to engage with the other until they reach ultimate perfection. A person needs to realize that there's a world out there and they need to engage that world, even though it's the case that they themselves have not reached complete perfection. But this is nuanced. From the other hand, that have been gedenken, as in Muzton Mitzich, you also need to focus on yourself. You also need to engage in physical self-care, in spiritual self-care. You need to work on identifying your own flaws and rectifying them. And this rectification of and recognition of one's own flaws is that's not only relevant to you, it's not only relevant to making your own life a good life, but it will also very much impact the way in which you're able to impact others. The reason why it's the case that it's very important to engage in dealing with your own flaws is that if a person himself has certain flaws, which they don't work on fixing, then field does that state there. The person who you're trying to impact ultimately feels this. They sense this. And as a result, you're not able to impact the other person. Meaning, given that the other person realizes that you yourself are not so righteous, that you yourself have a lot of character flaws, they're going to see if this person has so many character flaws. If this person is, let's say, a person who's dominated by anger, who's controlled by anger, who's controlled by fear, who's controlled by egotism, who's controlled by the pursuit of fame, the pursuit of power, the pursuit of pleasure, or let's say this person is not a person who truly knows Torah. So they're trying to tell me to learn Torah, but if they don't have anything really to offer, and the content that they give over seems childish, then why would I myself be inspired to learn from them? Or if this person doesn't really genuinely connect during davening, why should I daven when this person tells me to? So the idea is that even if we were to say that the only goal of life is to help the other, in order to help the other, you need to spiritually and physically invest in yourself such that helping the other will be a realistic possibility. We need to realize the tremendous responsibility that we have to rectify our own flaws, our own character flaws. Because if we do not rectify and recognize our character flaws, then we don't only cause ourselves to lose out, we also cause other people to lose out. We cause our family, our friends, our community, and anyone we could possibly influence to lose out. We need to put a lot of effort into our own physical and spiritual well-being. Because if we don't, then not only are we robbing ourselves, we're robbing the others. It's something which doesn't only pertain to us as an individual, but it pertains to the entire community. So that's the lesson we learn from Yosef. It says that Yosef is Yafei Toya, the Yafei Mara. Yosef himself is a beautiful person. He's beautiful within and without. And in a similar fashion, it's our responsibility to be beautiful from within and without in order that we can manifest this idea of Yosef, the spiritual potentiality of Yosef, which is Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, transforming the other, transforming the one who is alienated into a son of Hashem or a daughter of Hashem. They're often their ma'isim with Eish Petifar's. What's the lesson we learn from the story of Petifar's wife, or from Petifar's wife's perspective in the narrative? Rashi quotes the Medrash from Chazal as Eishes Petifar L'shem Shemayin Iskavna, that Petifar's wife acted for the sake of heaven. Ziyad Gizen as fun ir v'alam ha'reizkom in kinder tzu Yitzifin. Potiphar's wife, like many Egyptian aristocrats, was a great astrologist, and she was able to see with her astrology that she and Yosef would produce offspring together. And that's why she ran after Yosef so much in order to have an affair with him. Nor is yet a toskat. The only problem was that Potiphar's wife made a mistake when she was reading the stars. Das is given niet von ihr, nor von ihr tochter. She was not meant to have offspring with Yosef directly, but rather the offspring that she would ultimately have from Yosef would be through her daughter. And in fact, we learn that in Parshas Miketz that Yosef takes Osnas Bas Potiphera as his wife. And the simple understanding is that Potiphera is Potiphar, and Osnas, who is Bas Potiphera, who is Potiphera's daughter, is the daughter of the same Eishes Petifar who was accused, or who accused Yosef of trying to have an affair with her. And ultimately, Chazal tell us that part of that might have been in order to clear Yosef's name. When the Egyptian populace saw that Yosef, who had once been in prison for having an affair with Eishes Petifar, trying to have an affair, is being given Petifar's daughter as a wife, that demonstrates that he must be innocent, he must be beyond reproach. And in fact, Yosef has two sons, and according to this day in Chazal, these two sons are ultimately grandchildren of Eishes Petifar, Petifar's wife. Zetman Derfun, the lesson we learn from the story of Eishes Petifar is, as can zayin an inyin vasen chatzenius and poyel, is us in gansin a hefech von kedusha. There can be something which, superficially speaking, if we look at it from the outside, and in terms of the way it manifests, it's the absolute antithesis of holiness. But on a deeper level, its ultimate intention is for the sake of heaven. In order to add and engage in holiness. The Alter Rebbe read in Tanya. In the fourth section of Tanya, Igeres HaKodesh, in the 25th epistle, Simon Chafei, the Alter Rebbe writes in a very foundational letter, as Bishas Hayid, state in Davent. When a Jew is standing in Davin, and a goy, a heathen, comes to you while you're in the middle of davening and tries to disturb you from your davening, the way that this should impact you is, as nit nar das is im nitzra opshachim, not only is it the case that your resolve in davening doesn't get weakened, they're either just the opposite. Das gufa zon im ma'oyer zayin meir chizuk. The fact that the goy is disturbing you, the fact that the heathen is disturbing you, should cause you to redouble your efforts in davening. Arizal davening with meir kavana from tifer from haritzen. That you'll daven with more kavana from a deeper place in your heart. In plug, in truth, is dachnit verstandig. This would seem to be difficult to understand. Edi kavon in dem is ma'oyer zu zayin dem yid. Arizal davening with meir kavana, ha'in tervas kumtas epis. In azal ifin, was a goy is olm shtern from davenin, was das is dach, a fakert in yin. If it's the case that the ultimate divine purpose of sending the heathen to disturb you during davening is to cause you to have more intensity in davening, then why send the heathen in the first place? It would seem that the heathen is a distraction and is not actually getting you to the ultimate goal of having greater concentration in your davening. Nor their pshat is. Rather, the explanation is, as their goyan lanes and pimius and shoyosh, the shoyosh from Yedizach is dach and kedusha, that the heathen himself, in his innermost sense, in his deepest sense, and in his spiritual root, and we know that the root of everything, without exception, is from the realm of holiness, they soon feel as erdarf epis moisiv zayin kedusha. This heathen thinks that he has what to add to the realm of holiness. Nor, but through this source in holiness, wanting to add holiness, go passing through the manifest intermediary of the heathen, which he, as he manifests in this world, is the antithesis to holiness. The desire to add to holiness expresses itself as something which is in opposition to holiness. But the ultimate goal of the heathen is in order to help and add holiness. This is like the Magid the Mezrich used to say, as their ganzer in was love and is noch gelof and noch yakevin is given by Elis Hagen gedarf zukum and noch oisis in teir. The whole reason why Lavan ran after Yaakov was in order that there should be more letters added in the Torah. While some gedarf tzukum in nachos is in Torah, therefore is Lavan nach gelaf in nach Yaakov. The Torah needed some more letters, so as a result, Lavan needed to run after Yaakov. But their sipur is a reingeschrieben geworden in Torah, and durch dem tzukum in a parshas in Torah. And Lavan's pursuit, the whole narrative of Lavan running after Yaakov, is recorded in the Torah. And as a result, we get another section of the Torah. The point being that even though on a superficial level, it might have seemed like Lavan was running after Yaakov in order to injure Yaakov, in order to hurt Yaakov, at the deepest core sense, Lavan was truly running after Yaakov because Lavan, in the deepest sense, wanted to engage in holiness, even though he himself was not necessarily aware of it. Und das ist ein Job, und geht zu aller Lamas Vesterim, oif avaydes Havaya. And this is a lesson for all things which seem to distract us and seem to conceal us from serving Hashem. Vester emes is vidar in your state with Yusuf Vesharshay. That the truth is, as the thing stands in its most interior sense and in its root, as nit nor vaser is nit came in nagadev kedusha, not only does the thing not oppose holiness, nor adra, but just the opposite. It helped go to kedusha. It actually very much assists the realm of holiness. Nor, vibal das geht durich durich, as atziner der far teit sich das ois and appears hopfri. Ptimius is das a heel von oisaf in kedusha. Now, even though in its source it's ultimately a holy thing, given that it's being mediated by something which manifests as the antithesis of holiness, these things appear to us to oppose holiness. But in fact, they're only here to help out and to add holiness. When Beshaster Mensch vet zich nit narin, we top them toes, was der Goyot, nor vet visi, as in ra yud mumayla. So, when a person doesn't fool themselves, and they don't make the same mistake that, say, the Lavan or the heathen who thinks he's here to bother you, meaning in terms of his conscious awareness, he thinks he's here to disturb you. If you don't make the same mistake that he makes, but rather, you realize that no evil descends from above. Nothing which manifests in our world is really evil. But in the end of the day, it's ultimately good. Es ist gar nicht tal, kein halamas vestirin, und allen yonam was herzet, zayinen, asiyon kdusha. There are no concealments and obstacles to holiness. And everything that comes into the world is a help. It helps out holiness. Uve mele, is nit nor was the helim, not only is it the case that this concealment shouldn't add any weakness to our engagement in Avodas Hashem, their adrab is the opposite. The fact that you're seeing obstacles should only empower you and should only strengthen your resolve. B'sha'aser v'das der feeling on afmachen mezei festin b'shlus with an emes. When a person feels this reality and they make a very powerful resolve, a very powerful decision, is for an emes, for an alibot. Then all of these apparent obstacles, which a person now resolves, will not allow them to stop their engagement in the good, but rather only intensify their engagement with every good thing they're doing. That will cause all of the concealments and all of the obstacles to truly go away. As verin batal ala halomis v'esteim minis v'kuvin, all concealments of holiness and all preventions of achieving good goals will disappear. Verul, derechtem v'ser v'estem emes, because through your knowing the truth, as in yeder zach is da nitzaliki, when alt zes yuatzuk dusha, that in everything is there a divine spark, and everything ultimately comes to help out holiness. Through that too, you spiritually, cosmically, psychologically impact that thing which is concealing, which is preventing holiness. That their inner spark of holiness will be woken up and expressed. And as a result, and down here below, we'll also see within the thing that previously was something which concealed holiness, which opposed holiness, that it is manifesting the ultimate reality, the ultimate goal. As this brings to a suffering dusha, we'll see that it too will add in the realm of holiness. Now we can understand this teaching of Chazal that Eishes Peitifar, the Peitifar's wife, acted for the sake of heaven. At a time when we experience concealments of divinity, there are two ways you can relate to that. Ein derech is one way to relate to that is going to war, actively opposing that thing which conceals holiness. You relate to it as a true concealment of divinity. And we amass all of our power to go to war against the second way to go about things, which is a much nicer way to do things, is we know that internally speaking, this is actually coming to help out the realm of holiness. And when we have such a perspective, we relate to the thing that seems to be preventing us from engaging in holiness as something which is inherently good, that in fact wakes up the inner good and reveals it as that through the thing that hitherto was causing concealment, it now adds to the realm of holiness. Let's summarize this echa. What do we learn from the story of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar? Well, on a simple level, there are many things that we can learn. The most classic explanation of this narrative that we often hear is withstanding and resisting temptation. In a sicha for Yutas Kislev in the year Tafshin Chai, 1957, the Rebbe analyzed the story of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar, and he said that we can derive two very important daily actionable lessons. Now, the story has two main characters, and these two characters have two different perspectives. And if we look at the two characters, we can learn two different lessons. The first is Yosef. We learn that Yosef was yifei toyar v'yifei mara. He was good-looking, and he had a pleasant face. And not only was he antecedently good-looking, but Rashi also tells us that he was mesalso besayre. He made her style his hair. He curled his hair. And as a result, Potiphar's wife became romantically interested in Yosef and desired to have an affair with him. And ultimately, Yosef goes to jail. And he's there for 2 years and he's successful in jail. But that's the narrative. Now, what do we learn from this? The Rebbe says that the Rebbe Merash, the fourth Rebbe of Lubavitch, explained that yifei tayr yifei mare means that somebody is good, looks good in both the way their face is and their body is, means that a person refrains from engaging in negative activities. They refrain from mitzvah soleisase on the one hand, and on the other hand, they engage in positive activities. They engage in mitzvah soleisase. And the spiritual meaning of a Yosef is, as the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe Lubavitch taught, that Yosef Hashem li bein acher. That Yosef was called by Rachel Yosef because Rachel prays that Hashem should give her another son. But the deeper spiritual meaning to the Tzemach Tzedek is that a person who manifests the spiritual energy of a Yosef is somebody who could transform the other into a son, who could transform somebody who is alienated from Elikos, who is alienated from the realm of Kedusha, into a son of Hashem. Now, how does one accomplish this? How does somebody transform another person who's alienated from the realm of holiness into a son of Hashem? So the Rebbe says, obviously, there are a lot of steps here, but the first thing is that a person has to engage in physical and spiritual self-care. A person has to realize where they're not measuring up. A person has to identify and rectify their own character flaws, and only then can they truly impact others. Of course, as the Rebbe, we don't expect you to spend your entire life just sitting and meditating on your character flaws. You need to go out today and try to transform the world. But that said, you need to do this with an awareness that you need to transform yourself as well. Because if you don't engage in the work of self-transformation, if you don't engage in the work of transforming and rectifying your own character flaws, then people will not be impressed when you ask them to rectify their behavior. They'll look at you and they'll say that you're not such an impressive person. You don't have much to offer. You haven't worked so hard on yourself. You're perhaps contaminated by anger, by fear, by pride, by lust, by laziness. You may not have so much to show for yourself in the realm of Torah and the realm of davening. Only if a person truly works in themselves can they be an impactful person for others. Only by engaging in physical and spiritual self-care can you be there for other people. So that's the first lesson we learn, the first eternal symbolic lesson we learn from the story of Yosef. What do we learn from Eishes Potiphar? What do we learn from her perspective? So Chazal tells us, and Rashi quotes this, that Eishes Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, L'shem Shemayim miskavna, she tried to seduce Yosef for the sake of heaven. And Chazal says she had a whole calculation as to why she thought that having an affair with Yosef would have been a very wonderful thing to do. But whatever the case may be, the Rebbe says that Eishes Potiphar herself, as things in fact happen, manifests as evil. She's asking Yosef to have an affair. And as a result of Yosef's resistance, he ultimately goes to jail. But this, says the Rebbe, is a lesson for us eternally. And why is that? There are many things in the world, many people in the world, who manifest to us as evil, who manifest as opponents to the realm of holiness, opponents to the good. But Chassidus teaches us that there is nothing in the world which is truly, truly bad. Chassidus talks about things like the Gimel Klipas Hatmeis, the three impure shells, the Klipa, the Sitra Achra, all these negative demonic realms. But we learn many places in Chassidus. One good place would be in the Rebbe Shab Sefer Emarim Tafer Samachay. You can all see this discussed at length in the Lubavitch Rebbe's Igeres HaKadosh in Chelek Aleph. The idea is that there we learn that even the Klipa, even the realm of evil, has a spark of holiness inside of it. So when we encounter obstacles, when we encounter things that appear like evil in our lives, how should we react? We should react by strengthening our resolve in the realm of holiness. Don't look at obstacles and opposition as reason to give up. View them as reasons to redouble your efforts, to be even more tenacious in overcoming. But furthermore, not only will you be tenacious, but you will also have a new perspective on this challenge. Very often when you're presented with a challenge, there are two ways that you can react to the challenge. One is that you go to war against the challenge. You directly, frontally attack the things that's challenging you, and you try to vanquish it, or you try to get rid of it. Another way is you could, in a sense, ignore the challenge, or reframe your perspective towards the challenge. Don't view the challenge as pure evil, but instead view the challenge, or view the person, or the people who are creating the challenge as things which are inherently striving for the good. It may be the case that on a conscious level, they don't understand they're striving for the good. But ultimately, they are striving for the good. They just may not be consciously aware of that. But if you have an awareness that this seemingly evil phenomenon, or this seemingly evil person, or evil people, are ultimately striving towards the good, then your awareness itself can transform them such that they will, in a manifest sense, also help the realm of the good and not oppose it.